is Free Talk Live. You can bring up what you want. If you dial toll-free, 800-259-9231, that is the SACL CAI toll-free line. It's Ian here with you.
And Sam.
And Mark.
And you can join us on our website at freetalklive.com. The features, they are completely free, so enjoy those on us. Again, freetalklive.com. Coming up, Mark, you're going to tell us about some pretty outrageous proposals coming out of Washington, D.C. in regards to gun owners. But first, we go to your phone calls and talk to Eddie in California. Eddie, you are on Free Talk Live.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's on your mind, Eddie?
Hey, so I was going to ask you guys for some advice and thoughts on speeding countermeasures. Basically, I got a ticket about 3 months ago for $280.
Oh, boy.
For speeding, I'd say like 84 miles per hour on a 65. The thing was, everybody is going the same speed, so I don't know, you know, everybody's going the same speed. It would be unsafe for me to go under, you know, what everybody else is going at.
The hosts of the show are not lawyers, and nor can you be anything they say be construed as legal advice. However, what I would, you know, there's a couple of ways to look at this. There's some sites where you can, you know, find out what kind of, you know, speed gun they were using, whether they're using.
Right, right, right. I actually sent, like, the trial by written declaration thing. A couple weeks ago. I haven't gotten it yet, though, but I was going to ask you guys actually about things like using technology to beat, like, speeding, getting caught speeding, things like laser and radar jammers, CB radios,
CB radio is going to do much for you. I mean, a CB will let you know if there's a speed trap coming up if there are enough people using CBs, but
exactly.
CBs are kind of out of date.
But mostly importantly, like something like a GPS unit with predetermined speed traps where it'll alert you, you know, if
so you're talking about things that don't exist, right? Because I don't believe that
there's such a thing. There are databases that are you can get if you have a GPS unit that'll alert you because people add their speed traps online.
Yeah,
wow,
some of the newer GPSs will tie into your wireless.
The thing is, you could add them as points of interest, basically. So you would go online to get one of these databases where everybody around the country is adding speed traps, and you would just upload all that data into your GPS unit. And that,
in
conjunction with things like laser jammers, radar jammers, I'm guessing you could, you know.
The LIDAR jammers are pretty expensive, and I'm for all these things. I think you're crazy if you don't go out and buy one of these $75, little fuzz busters that at least will let you know in some vicinity where some cops are. They're cheap, and you might as well have one. As they get more cost prohibitive, it's going to be harder and harder for people to get them.
You're talking about LIDAR, right, Mark?
Well, it depends on where you are and what equipment there is.
Radar jammers are illegal, I believe. So is laser jammers.
I'm sure.
Mark was talking about a
radar detector.
Yeah.
Mark's talking about a radar detector, right?
Yeah, that's what he's talking about.
Oh, I'm talking about a radar jammer.
I understand that there is a difference. However, you should look at all of those pieces of equipment. I just have one of the cheapy, detectors. Here in New
the thing is, with those detectors, it's usually too late because, especially, the whole point of that is
a LIDAR detector
you from
likely,
far away.
Likely, what you're saying is true, and a LIDAR detector that's true. It depends on the state that you're in. I would recommend you move to New Hampshire, where we have just radar.
Yeah,
and,
just old school radar.
We'll fight against speeding. You know, them getting LIDAR. How's
that? Here in New Hampshire, we had one gentleman recently go into court and basically tell the judge that he's not going to be paying and that. That was the end of the story. The judge found him not guilty. So there's some level of people standing up against speeding tickets here in New Hampshire. And I'd love to see more of that stuff happen. You're welcome to try it out in California. I'm not sure how well it'll work.
If you had like a switch where you could turn on and off, because if your jammer is active the whole time, then it's easy for a cop to tell that you're using a jammer.
It depends on which one you get. Some of them will send out a certain
speed. I'm actually experimenting with this system called Blinders. It's a laser jammer.
Okay.
And
spend all kinds of money and make yourself invisible if you're willing to spend the money.
What the newer technology does.
If you were a cop and they're pointing the detector at you and he notices that, you know, your vehicle, there's no reading. It's obvious that, you know, there's something going on here. But what I'm planning on doing is having two switches on your car console, one for your brake lights and one for your radar jammer. And so, for example, if there's a detection, if your car alerts you that there's somebody aiming a detector at you, a police officer, for example, what you would do is you would switch off the brake light. I mean, you cut off the power to the brake lights, and you would brake so people don't know that you're slowing down.
Very sneaky. You know, it sounds like you're willing to pour thousands of dollars in upgrades
into
your
car. That set up exactly. So once you slow down, then you turn off your jammer. Then when the police is still, you know, they're pointing the thing at you, then they notice that you're in the speed range and there's no slowing down, or, you know, there's no evidence of me slowing down, or, you know, you understand what I'm saying?
It sounds like a lot of hoops to jump through. I like Mark's suggestion. If you love freedom, move to New Hampshire. You only have to deal with radar detectors up here.
Cold,
makes it a lot easier. Too cold? Well, hey, then spend thousands of dollars upgrading your car. Thanks for the call, and good luck.
couple of Florida boys you're talking to. I don't want to hear it's too cold.
Yep. 800-259-9231. That is the SACL CAI toll-free line. I mean, at least up here, we're on a track to basically just continue saying no to this stuff. Not just speeding tickets, but also little things like there's a lady here, a free stater, who's been busted for possession of an open container or something. I don't know the exact charges, but it's an open container-related charge. She was in somebody else's car at the time, and she is planning on going to their court trial and telling them, hey, I'm not going to pay your fine. So we've seen some real success with people going in and just telling these government people, look, I'm not your piggy bank. I won't be paying your fine. You can fine me however you want, but I'm not going to be paying it. And there have been some successes there. But out where you are in California, if you're dealing with this technological police state, then I guess you have to fight technology with technology unless you're willing to go in and actually say, no, I don't consent to this and I won't be paying. I don't think that'll go over too well in California. They'll probably take your driver's license from you, and then the next time they'll take your car from you.
Via San Quentin.
800-259-9231. We continue with Ben in Pennsylvania. Ben, you're on Free Talk Live.
Yeah, I wanted to discuss your idea of roads and infrastructure being owned privately.
Yes, sir.
Well, how exactly would the publicly owned, and by publicly I mean governmentally owned, roads be transferred over to private ownership?
It's an excellent question. I'll try my hand. I don't have all of the answers for you because I'm not somebody who's, the
road
mastermind.
Likely it'll be handled by the government or consensus of people, so therefore it'll be a really stupid operation and poorly executed.
I think that ideally, I think that the road should be ceded to the people that own the property that bounds the outside of the road.
Right.
I think that would make the most
sense. All of the roads that are out there, at least the ones on property that existed before the road came, are made from right-of-ways. Those right-of-ways were essentially taken from the property owner along the edges of their property, and they should return to the property owner. Actually, your house, it goes to the middle of the road where you own, in all likelihood. I don't know every place.
That's how it should be. That's what makes the most sense to me.
From what I've looked at, from deeds that I've looked at, that's the case, that your property goes to the center line of the road, and as does the other person's, but then you have given up this easement.
Some people have suggested that the government should auction the roads to the highest bidder, but that becomes a politically unfeasible process simply because it will just inevitably be rife with corruption. I mean, if you're giving the government people the ability to auction off the roads, inevitably their buddies in industry will be the ones that will benefit, and nobody will really have a fair shake at it. Whereas if you just cede those roads back to the abutting property owners, then each property owner can decide for themselves what to do with their road. Perhaps they will want to maintain it themselves. Perhaps they would prefer to sell it to some entrepreneur that comes by and offers them some money for it.
That also go ahead, Connor.
That's the same argument that David Friedman made in his book, Machinery of Freedom. He basically said that the government should sell off the roads. And I thought, well, wouldn't that basically be transferring monopoly privilege from government to a private individual who didn't do anything to mix his labor with the road in the first place?
Yeah, I don't support that solution. I think that each property owner should get the road out in front of their home or their property. I think that's half of the road if they don't own the other what's on the other side. I think that makes the most sense. And then from there, each individual owns a little chunk of road and can decide what to do with that that asset or liability, depending. Thank you for the call. 800-259-9231. That is the SACL CAI toll-free line. But that's just what I thought. I mean, maybe you can think of something better. I'm certainly not somebody who's planning on getting into the road business. I wouldn't want to really hold on to mine. I'd probably sell it with some contractual stipulations.
It's time for the Finally Thin Radio Minute with tips, information, and motivation to achieve your own success on any weight loss plan. Here's your host, noted author and diet expert, Kim Benson.
I know how busy everyone is, but wanting to lose weight is not enough to make it happen. It takes action. It takes more action than it does willpower. Making over your home environment is one of the best ways to avoid temptation and stay on the wagon. One of the first and most important actions you can take to prepare your home for your weight loss journey is to go shopping and fill your fridge, cupboards, and freezer with healthy foods that you find appealing. Create your list and carry it with you when you shop, and you'll be amazed at how many delicious options you've got. Since new products hit the grocery store all the time, make sure you update it frequently. Choose the light products that are your favorite. Start by reading labels. It can be frustrating and even overwhelming at first, but once you get the hang of it and know what to look for and what to avoid, you're ready to shop. For the Finally Thin Radio Minute, I'm Kim Benson.
For a transcript of this show and others, please visit KimBenson.com. Kim Benson tried every diet going, but yo-yoed her way to 350 pounds. Then she did it. 212 pounds later, she is finally thin. How she did it and how you can too is all in her new book, Finally Thin. Finally Thin breaks down success into a 10-step system showing readers exactly how she accomplished her weight loss goal. A must-have for anyone trying to lose weight. Finally Thin by Kim Benson is available wherever books are sold.
Are taxes, food, energy, housing, medical forcing Americans into poverty? Is free enterprise flawed, or is our monetary system forcing us into perpetual debt, ensuring inflation and higher taxes? The answers are in Griffin's book, The Creature from Jekyll Island. Ron Paul states it's what every American needs to know about the Fed and central banking. Hi, Ted Anderson. I will give a U.S. silver dollar to everyone who purchases this book. Call 800-686-2237. It's critical to be made aware of the system. Get your copy today, 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Rough roads might be ahead for the economy, but your vehicle doesn't have to experience them. Can't afford a new vehicle or even an expensive repair? Now you can take care of your vehicle with Protecta Engine Oil Booster by SFR, which is a fully synthetic oil booster. Protecta Engine Oil Booster fortifies your motor oil to help your engine last longer. Protecta Engine Oil Booster has been tested by independent laboratories and proven in over 1 million vehicles worldwide. We'll give you enough Protecta Engine Oil Booster for 5 complete oil changes for only $22.95. That's enough for 2 vehicles for up to 1 year. Start taking care of your vehicle today. Take advantage of this limited time offer and receive free shipping. Protecta Engine Oil Booster is the last defense against engine wear. Go to oilcompanysecret.com or call 1-888-873-7371. That's oilcompanysecret.com or 888-873-7371. Satisfaction guaranteed or your money back. Call 888-873-7371 or visit oilcompanysecret.com.
Before you throw away your used batteries, you need to listen to this. Now, going green can save money. Go green and save money by giving life to your used batteries by charging them with the Renaissance Charger. The Renaissance Charger uses a new revolutionary battery charging technology that effectively extends the life of new batteries and gives new life to used batteries. Invented by legendary audio genius John Bedini, this unique and patented charging system rejuvenates the electrochemical plate structure in the battery without additives, increasing capacity and maintaining cell integrity. Renaissance Charge offers a full line of products made in the USA for all types and sizes of batteries. Find out why our customers tell us the Renaissance Charger is the only battery charger they will ever use. Save your money. Save the environment. Visit us online at r-charge.com. That's r-charge.com or call us at 989-637-4179. That's 989-637-4179. Be a part of the revolution today.
This is Free Talk Live. Call toll-free 1-800-259-9231. That's 800-259-9231. And get interactive at freetalklive.com.
This is Free Talk Live. The toll-free number for you is 800-259-9231. You can bring up anything. That is the SACL CAI toll-free line, 1-800-259-9231. And it's Ian here with you.
And Sam.
And Mark.
Join us online at freetalklive.com. All the features are completely free, so enjoy those on us. They include, by the way, archives. So if you've missed a moment of the show, just click and download right there on the front page of the website. Going back for an entire year completely free at freetalklive.com. Did you know that over 35% of IT admins admit to snooping through their boss's email? Shouldn't your business email be secure? PrivacyHarbor.com is an email alternative That's private and confidential, guaranteed. PrivacyHarbor.com, because normal email is not secure. That's PrivacyHarbor.com. As we continue with your phone calls, it is Ben in Pennsylvania. Ben, you are on Free Talk Live. Hello, Ben. Going once. Ben in Pennsylvania, going twice. All right, I guess we lost Ben. 800-25... Oh, I already took Ben. All right, what about Eddie in California? We took him, too. I'm all out of calls. 800-259-9231. So, since we were talking about roads, I believe, Sam, you had something in regards to that particular topic tonight.
Yes, as soon as I can bring it up here.
People are obviously concerned about this issue. It is always something that generates controversy because, well, as Mark has described it in the past, it's the third rail of the Liberty Movement.
There's quite a few of them.
Well, I think it's a pretty simple one, actually, to deal with when you really start to think about it. You can start to come up with some ways that you can remove this particular concept from the government's control and put it into the hands of private people. But where are you coming from on this one tonight, Sam?
Let's take a look at how the government is doing managing the roads today. I mean,
not so great around here, I'll tell you that.
Well, engineers give U.S. infrastructure a D. This is from Washington AP. America's roads, public transit, and aviation have all gotten worse in the past 4 years. Water and sewage systems are dreadful. The basic physical backbone of American society is barely above failing, a report by top engineers says. It'll cost $2.2 trillion to fix America's ailing infrastructure, according to highlights of a report being released early, just as the House of Representatives, yada, yada, yada. The country's roads, dumps, dams, bridges, schools, and rail systems need lots of money, say the engineers, who would get a piece of the pie in working on the repairs. Now, think about it. They're not only getting a piece of the pie, meaning more work and job security for them, but they're also going to get they're going to be spending billions of dollars with vendors. And anytime you do that, those vendors are going to throw parties. They're going to throw conferences. Well, we've got to come out and show you about the new road technology that we do and so forth. And they're going to go to, you know, lavish trips and things like that, I guarantee you. So there's certainly a financial incentive here that is probably not so strong when you don't have a large monopoly organization like this running the entire road system for America.
So you're saying the engineers are saying the infrastructure gets a D, hire us to fix it.
Yes, exactly. Not only that, but they're painting this picture. Government officials are allegedly aiming billions of dollars at those physical needs as part of what at the moment is an $825 billion economic stimulus package, but the engineers say that's not enough. Overall, the American Society of Civil Engineers gives U.S. physical backbone for everything from schools and parks to dams and levees a D. And I like the way that they're using – this is something I point out in my videos. If you go to the police – if you go into a government school – what's always in the lobby in the big display case?
Trophies.
All their trophies that they won to show how great they are. Doesn't point out the fact that the government school systems are 45th in the world and falling every year. They've got trophies because they're number one.
We're an A
their
school.
Little system.
Right.
Yeah. That's a school for
retards.
AMM
dum-dums.
Right.
America, the short bus of countries. Unfortunately, you know, I don't understand. I can't tell you why American education is 45th in the world. I think that number's true. I've seen ranks about that. But I can't tell you why that's true, because all the other countries seem to run their schools from a centralized bureaucracy too. I don't know much about them, but I imagine that France does and that Japan does and all these other countries do. But the fact is, ours stinks. Maybe it's the geographical size of our nation.
No. It's $7,000 per year per student is just not enough, Mark.
Yeah. Well, I'm sorry that it's just not the answer to throw more money at it. It sounds like it. It seems like it. But all that's doing is feeding the teachers' union who has the only interest they have is not educating the students, but keeping monopoly control on the education of them.
That's the same overall grade as the last time the group's report in 2005, but it really is slipping from a high D to a low D, said the report chairman, Andrew Herman. Of the 15 areas the engineers looked at, three got worse and only one got better. The three were worse and were all transportation-oriented. Aviation dropped from a D- to a D. So did public transit, and America's intricate roadway system potholed from a D to a D-. Only the energy system improved from a D to a D or from a D to a D minus. How did that improve?
Doesn't sound like an improvement.
Yeah, anyway.
But transpose them just for fun.
Okay.
They said it was an improvement
the other way.
We'll take their word for it. It's an improvement.
But look at that. What is improving? The one system that is not completely owned and controlled by the government is the only one that managed to improve just a little bit.
Yeah, and it's not saying much considering the energy system is not, well, it's not owned and controlled. It's pretty much controlled completely by the state. They allow a privateer to have a government-granted monopoly, which results in some pretty stagnant conditions.
Absolutely. In 2005, engineers said it would cost what would be $1.7 trillion in current dollars to fix what's broken. Now the price tag is up to $2.2
trillion. Well, we all know that Obama's going to fix this. I mean, he's been talking about this major infrastructure spending that the stimulus is necessary for. I think old Bush was talking about this before he left office, as a matter of fact. So they've certainly been throwing around the idea of printing out a whole bunch of new money and going and fixing these supposed problems. I'm sure they'll have that wrapped up within the next year or two, don't you think?
Yeah.
Sure.
do I detect some sarcasm there?
It's not going to happen.
That just goes to show you that waiting has cost money, Herman told the Associated Press on Tuesday evening. We haven't made the progress in 4 years. We haven't made any progress in 4 years. He's actually admitting that he's absolutely powerless to do his job here over the last 4 years, apparently.
Well, now what is his job again?
He's the head of this committee that oversees all of the road infrastructure.
I see. So
projects.
It's some sort of governmental committee.
American Society of Civil Engineers. So
I wonder how tied in they are with the state. Because it's interesting to hear this, because on one hand you've got these engineers looking at the public and the government infrastructure and saying, oh, this is awful. This is decrepit. We need to fix this. Of course, on the other hand, so that's showing that the government is not so great at dealing with the infrastructure. Of course, the engineers on the other side of that are wanting to be the ones to fix the problem. Well, weren't government-approved engineers the ones that created these things in the first place? Are we just being told that the infrastructure was fine way back when, but it's now just being let go too long? That's certainly a possibility, right? I mean, that they have to build a bridge usually at least good enough to keep people alive that cross over it. So there is some incentive to government to actually make a bridge that works, because if you kill too many people, then you lose your tax base. But all that said, they don't have the best of incentives, because we've certainly seen bridge collapses and things like that. So maybe what they're saying is that this infrastructure has been let just go for too long, and that seems to be his complaint, is, look, we told you this 4 years ago, you didn't do anything, and now it's gotten worse.
He's concerned. If my kid came home with 11 D's and 4 C's, I know I wouldn't be happy.
800-259-9231, that's the SACL CAI toll-free line. But what incentive does government have to act on these recommendations? I mean, presuming they're true, and I have no reason to disbelieve them, this is Free Talk Live.
The United States is bankrupt, and the bankers want you bankrupt also. How would you like to be debt-free in 90 days guaranteed? DebtCrisisSolutions.com has helped tens of thousands out of debt since 1993 and will free you from the debt trap. DebtCrisisSolutions.com legally guarantees to put an end to wage garnishment, bank levies, and liens, and you won't pay one dime to creditors. With Debt Crisis Solutions program, you'll also restore your credit history and be protected from legal action without making one more payment to creditors. DebtCrisisSolutions.com specializes in credit report restoration, preventing wage garnishment and bank levies, liens, and judgments. Doing nothing doesn't make the debt go away. Become debt-free in 90 days, guaranteed. Call Debt Crisis Solutions now for a free consultation at 718-615-0123. That's 718-615-0123. Or visit them online at DebtCrisisSolutions.com. That's DebtCrisisSolutions.com today.
These are strange new days. Foreclosures are at record highs. People are losing their jobs. The threat of a terrorist attack looms. Food supplies are at an all-time low, and now we have a new untested president. The time of change is upon us, and to those of you who are in the know, you realize that the most difficult times have yet to be seen. Self-preparedness is the key to survival. Internet Grocer understands your needs and is prepared to help you through these difficult times. Internet Grocer has some of the most affordable prices on storable foods. Feed a family of four for up to a year or more and enjoy creamy, delicious real cheddar cheese in a can. Indulge in real canned meats and real canned butter. Call 903-356-6443. That's 903-356-6443. 6443 from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. Central Standard Time, or shop online at internet-grocer.net. Again, that's internet-grocer.net.
How many times have you been in the dark looking for a flashlight, only to find the one that you have is broken, the batteries are dead, or it's just not bright enough? You need the Packlight. The Packlight is the longest-lasting flashlight on the market and simply snaps onto any 9-volt battery and uses two high-powered LED lights. It's small enough to carry in your pocket, car, garage, and home. The Packlight can survive severe impact, be frozen solid, and still work flawlessly. The Packlight is so durable, soldiers overseas rely on them and has been featured in the New York Times and Backpacker magazine. The Packlight comes with a 25-year warranty and prices start at just $12.99. To learn more and see for yourself just how incredible this small flashlight can be, visit 9voltlight.com. That address again is 9voltlight.com. Or call us today at 877-715-4448. That's 877-715-4448.
With rising unemployment and an economy that continues to fail comes an increase in crime. Are you safe when you walk to your car? Are your kids safe when they go out? Everyone needs something to give that extra edge in case of an attack. You need DPS pepper spray from MrDefense.com. DPS is the strongest pepper spray on the market and is the same spray used by hundreds of law enforcement agencies from around the world. Need something more? The Stinger keychain is a great way to surprise a potential attacker. Mr. Defense carries the largest selection of stun guns, air tasers, knives, swords, batons, survival, spy, and tactical gear. Mention this ad and receive 10% off your order. Visit MrDefense.com. That's MrDefense.com or call 1-800-313-6400. 1-800-313-6400. That's 1-800-313-6400 today.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
This is Free Talk Live. It's your show. You can bring up anything via the toll-free number at 800-259-9231. That is the SACL CAI toll-free line. It's 800-259-9231, and you can join us on our website at freetalklive.com. We've got a wiki with over 1,800 pages. Created by listeners like you. You can go to wiki.freetalklive.com, get interactive for free. W-I-K-I, wiki.freetalklive.com. And SACL CAI has a full-orbed approach to account recovery. It's really three companies in one. They do collections, early out billing, and they purchase charged-off receivables. SACL knows the way they treat your customer reflects on you. Their staff is respectful, they record every call, and they have the best equipment money can buy, so your business is handled as efficiently as possible. See their banner at freetalklive.com. That, again, is freetalklive.com. Now, Sam, we've been talking about this story you brought in from some sort of consortium of engineers that has been looking at the various different government infrastructure from schools to roads. And specifically, we're talking about the roads aspect of it and how it is that these engineers are essentially saying, hey, look, these roads are bad. We give them a D, or actually a D minus this time around. Mm-hmm. And 4 years ago, we gave them a D, so they're getting worse. We told you about this 4 years ago. You've done nothing. This is essentially their report to the federal government. Their report is, look, we've told you this stuff is bad. This is dangerous. People are at risk, and you've done nothing. Well, why has the government not done anything? Don't they care about you? Don't they care that you're kept safe?
40,000 fatalities on the government roads every year.
Is that all? Only 40,000?
There was a Lou Rockwell podcast where a guy who has studied the roads, that's the figure that he uses. I thought it would be much higher than that, but he believes if the roads were handed over to the private market, that number would drop by 30,000 almost right away. I mean, there are problems on the government roads where they're just poorly designed, they're poorly operated, they're poorly maintained.
Wait a minute, Sam, wait a minute. Okay, let me play devil's advocate here and pretend for a moment that I'm somebody who believes in the system. Well, wait a minute. You're telling me that you think that Walmart could make better roads than the government? I mean, the government cares about us. Evil corporations, they don't care about us. They just want to make money.
Well, certainly. They're not going to make money if they're not pleasing customers.
Well, what incentive do they have to please me? They can just charge whatever they want for their roads. I'm going to have to drive on it if I want to go somewhere.
Well, you've got to remember, in the absence of government, we're not going to have the FAA holding back things like air travel and other forms of transportation. Who's to say the roads need to exist for another 50, 100 years?
That's a good point. And then there's also the point that somebody can only raise a price beyond a certain point before you've completely obliterated commerce. I mean, only people will only put up with prices that are so high. And even the government can only get away with so much. If they raise the water rates too high, I'll call the Culligan man and get some 5 gallons in here.
Look at what happened when gasoline went up to $4 a gallon. SUVs were being traded in, $50,000 cars. Dealerships were giving them like $6,000.
Yeah. And people were taking it.
Right, because they just couldn't afford it. So
they didn't want to afford it. I mean, they could pay for it. They didn't want to, and that was the threshold, and that's fine.
Some people, the thresholds, you know, it's going to vary from person to person, but certainly it shows you that if they're only going to be able to charge what the market will bear.
Right, and how could things be worse than they currently are with the road situation? The fact is, with private ownership, those private owners would have an incentive to keep their roads up in better condition because they want you to travel on them. I would rather have you drive on my road so you can see the billboards that I've sold to various different advertising companies or people that wanted to advertise on the side of my road. I want traffic on my road, so I have an incentive to not only make sure that my road is in good shape, but also to make sure that you have a pleasant drive while you're on it, and that means keeping the dangerous people off as well.
And I've traveled to Disney World, the one in Florida, whichever that is.
Disney World.
Disney World, and never had a problem finding Pleasure Island or any of the places that you go to because they're very well, the signage is out there. It's very clear. It's very easy to understand. They're color-coded.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine that. Same thing with airports. You know, you're still quasi-government regulated there, but it's pretty easy for me to go into just about any airport, and I did this all the time with my old job, and find my terminal, find the rental car agency to return the rental car and get where I need to go because it's privately owned. They have to make it simple or people will complain, and if people complain, that they do have some form of competition in air travel.
Right. And here we've got engineers that are coming to the government people and complaining and saying, look, these are dangerous conditions. And what does the government do? Sits and waits 4 years until the engineers come back and say, hey, the conditions are getting more dangerous.
Really, really dangerous.
Now, of course, we understand they're angling for a contract and they, you know, they understand that eventually once the government decides to move on this, they'll probably make buku bucks. But that's not really the point of the story. The point is to show how the government just doesn't care about your safety on the roads. Oh, sure, they'll put the advertisements on television, click it or ticket, and they'll try to make it sound like they care about your safety, and maybe some of them really do. Maybe some of the people in the Department of Safety, for instance, really do care about safety. It's just the thing is they have no incentive to really act in a way that would help you stay safe. They just don't have it. Beyond just their personal caring, there's no financial incentive there for them to do anything at all. There's no real market motivation.
And I question how much worse the roads are actually getting. Is this report really a fair picture of what's going on, or is it just these guys hearing, hey, there's lots of free handouts from the government, and they're just printing money like crazy. Let's see if we can get a bigger slice by making this look worse than it is.
Let's continue with your phone calls. Alfonso in Massachusetts, you are on Free Talk Live. Hello, Alfonso. Hello, Alfonso, going once. Alfonso in Massachusetts, going twice. Let's try Richard in Kansas. Richard, you are on Free Talk Live.
Hi.
Hey, you're on here.
Hello?
What's on your mind, Richard?
You guys were talking a couple days ago about intellectual property laws and drug companies.
Yes, sir.
Well, my wife and I just watched a video about the cancer industry, and I don't remember the name of it, but they talked about how the cancer industry, made up of pharmaceutical companies and the American Medical Association and other organizations, have lobbied Congress and the FDA to make alternative treatments to cancer illegal. And these alternative treatments are basically just eating all raw fruits and vegetables. And they had a bunch of data to show how these raw fruits and vegetables are more effective than the chemotherapy and the radiation treatments.
Mm.
And I was just thinking that was interesting, that it's great that we have these intellectual property laws to incentivize companies to create drugs that are less effective than just eating a carrot.
Right. They want you to stay on their cancer treatments for the rest of however long you live. They don't really want to cure cancer, right? I mean, why should they? There's not really very much competition out there. There's no real interest in their part to do that, I guess. I mean, maybe some of them would bother to do such a thing, but would it really be profitable for them to kill cancer? I don't know.
Well, I think it would if the government, if they hadn't lobbied the government to make treatments that work illegal. Like yeah, the free market would find the best solution.
I don't even
and
know.
And they probably would find a solution.
I don't even know if all of the treatments are illegal. I have a close friend who has leukemia, and she would, when her counts would go down, she would get really sick. It's painful, a lot of struggle there. She would go and do this alternative medicine. Now, this is not fun. She's getting coffee enemas every hour on the hour for 2 days straight. That means she's not sleeping. She's drinking pressed calf liver blood.
Blah.
Yeah.
In some kind of shake with lots of nasty, other really nasty sounding stuff in it. She goes to this. It used to be in Texas, just on the southern border, but the FDA was harassing the doctor that did it, and he had to move across
into
the border
into
Juarez. Yeah. And she came back from that. Her face was black because of her body can't process the metals. They just kind of build up in her. And this
metals?
This, yeah. She, for some
like
reason.
A coffee enema.
You lost me.
What?
Coffee enema.
I said, what is a coffee enema?
Oh, a coffee enema? Do you know what an enema is?
I guess not. I'm not a biologist or whatever.
You don't know what? Oh, okay. An enema is not the same thing as an amoeba. An enema is when they squirt into an orifice, and I believe that would
be
anal. Likely.
You know,
ever heard is the anal orifice, but it's possible, I guess.
That's what this was.
And they squirt a liquid up into your anal orifice.
Well, they didn't mention anything about that on the video.
No, but where were you going with your point, Sam?
She came back from this. Her face had turned black because it had flushed up all of these metals, and shortly afterwards, she's been fine ever since, and she's running marathons again.
No kidding.
It works.
So she was able to... She went after this treatment that essentially was pushed out by the establishment, and it worked out for her. I don't know if you have more. Hang on. We'll bring it back if so. 800-259-9231. More with Richard. Your calls as well about what you want. This is Free Talk Live.
Are you concerned about the privacy of your email messages? Andre Picard, author of the Computer Privacy Handbook, says that normal email has become the most comprehensive surveillance system ever invented. Email may feel like a private one-to-one conversation, but in truth, it's about as confidential as whispering through a megaphone. When messages leave your company's email system, they become vulnerable to unscrupulous third parties who harvest private data for advertising. Also, if you're someone's boss, consider this little fact. In a recent survey, over 35% of IT professionals in charge of business email systems admitted to snooping through the boss's email. Your email no longer has to be exposed to such risks. Now there's PrivacyHarbor.com, an innovative new secure email solution utilizing some of the same reliable technology used in online banking. PrivacyHarbor.com, because normal email is not secure.
SouthSummit.com is the place for top name brand knives such as Kershaw, Spyderco, Cold Steel, Gerber, K-Bar, Boker, Leatherman, and more. South Summit has one of the largest selections of self-defense products on the web. Knives, stun guns, police batons, pepper spray, LED flashlights, emergency kits, binoculars, and tactical gear are just some of the great products found on SouthSummit.com. Receive discounted prices on camping and preparedness products from Camelback, Kelty, and Eureka. Check out our water storage barrels, water purification systems, and Mountain House freeze-dried foods that have a 30-year shelf life. Keep an eye on your family and keep them safe with our do-it-yourself spy camera systems. Mention that you heard this ad on the radio and you'll receive a free LED flashlight with your order. Visit SouthSummit.com. That's South Summit, S-U-M-M-I-T, SouthSummit.com. Or call toll-free 1-800-234-8654. That's 1-800-234-8654.
Every 23 seconds, a violent crime is committed. Rapes, robberies, carjackings, assaults. You can find statistics all day long and tell yourself it probably won't happen to you. But those statistics won't mean anything if you become a victim. It's been said the best offense is a good defense. Prepare yourself by visiting www.aaa-safetyfirst.com. Check out the huge selection of pepper sprays, stun guns, self-defense DVDs, personal alarms, home protection supplies, and hidden cameras. If there's a woman in your life, there's a self-defense product right for her. Don't be a victim. Visit www.aaa-safetyfirst.com and use coupon code GCN to receive a huge 10% discount off your order. That's www.aaa-safetyfirst.com or call 719-289-0440. 719-289-0440 today.
Alex Jones here with a question. What does humidity mean to you? Most people think of hot and sticky summer days, but many people are beginning to realize that humidity can be a valuable source of pure drinking water. That's why I'd like you to visit ecolablue.com. ecolablue is a state-of-the-art atmospheric water generator producing purified drinking water from the humidity in the air using reverse osmosis and a five-stage carbon and UV light filtration system, which produces great-tasting water at an unbeatable price. Finally, drinking water that you control. I use one every day. Say goodbye to expensive water delivery services and storing five-gallon bottles of water in your home. The Ecola Blue 28 is shipped right to your home, ready to make close to 7 gallons a day right out of the box. They have a 30-day money-back guarantee. Call Ecola Blue right now at 866-585-4044. That's 866-585-4044. Or visit Ecola Blue at ecolablue.com today.
You're listening to Free Talk Live. Call toll-free 1-800-259-9231. That's 800-259-9231. And log on at freetalklive.com.
This is Free Talk Live. You can bring up what you want via the toll-free number at 800-259-9231. That is the SACL CAI toll-free line. And it is Ian here with you.
And Sam.
And Mark. Join us online at freetalklive.com. Features on the site we give away. So enjoy those. And if you like the show and you want to help support Free Talk Live, you can shop with us at amazon.freetalklive.com. Enter Amazon through that link. Shop in dozens of categories, new items, used items, whatever it is you need to buy, they probably sell it. If you shop through that link, Free Talk Live will get a percentage of your purchase. So get your shopping done at amazon.freetalklive.com. As we go back to Richard in Kansas, we're talking about intellectual property, and Richard wanted to make sure you had a chance to get your thoughts out. Anything else on your mind tonight?
No, that's about it, I guess.
Oh, I'm sorry to hold on to you then. Thanks for the call. 800-259-9231. Always feel free to hang up if we're holding on to you and you have nothing else to say.
I think that's what you said. If you didn't have anything else, if you had something else, we'll bring it back.
Right. All right. So, you know what, since we're talking about IP, I've got an email from Jason Osborne from SACL CAI. Subject line, IP argument to crush Mark. Here's what he has to say. Since we were talking about the issue of intellectual property as it applies to the pharmaceutical industry in particular, because, Mark, you were saying last night that you believe that this is necessary. It's necessary to have this government monopoly protection because, well, what about the children? We don't want kids with cancer dying, and the medical establishment is going to solve these problems, and so we need to make sure that they're protected, et cetera, et cetera.
I did not say that.
So we already know from what we just talked about a few moments ago that there are alternative therapies out there, and some people swear by them. Unfortunately, they aren't allowed to advertise the benefits of these therapies. Even if they have scientific proof, they have scientific studies in their corner, they're not allowed to do that. So it seems to me that the status quo, and I'm sure you'd be all in favor, Mark, of changing some things about the status quo, but it seems to me the status quo doesn't really have a real interest in solving cancer. They have an interest in keeping people on their pills and keeping the real solutions out of the marketplace because, well, if there's a real cancer solution, as you were talking about a few moments ago, that could involve a coffee enema or something. I'm not saying that's the actual solution, but whatever it is, if it's something simple and natural and very low cost, then that puts those drug companies, their treatments, out of the marketplace because who's going to want to buy those?
Cannabis. That was the AMA expected cannabis to replace 50 to 80% of the painkillers that
really?
Were currently on the market.
So is that why they lobbied against it?
Well, I mean, that was one of the reasons. The AMA was consulted, and they didn't even know that marijuana and cannabis were the same thing. They had been doing these studies on this cannabis plant, and when the newspapers were, of course, writing up these horrible stories because of Hearst had
William Randolph Hearst.
A vendetta against the plant, and you know he wanted his timber interest to profit, and so it was being attacked by on a number of different fronts, and that's just one more example.
So here's what Jason Osborne has to say. Jason, who by the way actually went to school for economics, didn't he?
He's somewhere either a PhD or just slightly PhD, below that, like didn't finish his dissertation. I'm not sure exactly.
The guy knows what he's talking about. Here's what he has to say. The key to efficient production of any good in the market is well-defined property rights. As any economist will point out, as long as transaction costs are out of the picture, efficient production is not dependent on the particular individuals possessing the property rights. The only difference in outcome will be the distribution of wealth at the end of the day. For example, consider the couch situation. If you have the right to have a couch on your lawn and your neighbor doesn't want it there, then they can offer to pay you to remove it. If it's worth more to you to have it there, then the couch will stay. If it's worth more to them to have it gone, it'll be gone, and you will receive compensation. On the other hand, if the neighbor has the right to remove your couch, then you can make an offer to pay the neighbor in order to keep your couch. If it's worth more to you to keep it, then it will stay, and your neighbor will receive payment. If it's worth more to the neighbor to have it gone, then it will disappear. In either case, the couch stays or goes depending on which is more efficient. The only difference is how much money is left in each of your pockets. The same can be true with regard to patents, even in the oh-so-important market for medical technology. Mark seems to think that efficiency goes out the window as soon as property rights over technology are opened up and violent monopoly privilege is extinguished. As usual, this belief is evidence of a lack of imagination regarding dealing with the transaction costs of raising the necessary research and development funds. This is also analogous to the provision of any public goods, such as roads or defense. The problem to be solved is how to incentivize all of the individuals who would benefit from the provision of such a good, R&D, roads, or defense, and to contribute such that the efficient level of production is reached. In the past, unimaginative folk like Mark have thrown up their hands and said, the only way to do this is to steal people's money at the point of a gun or to grant monopoly privilege at the point of a gun. These solutions present their own problems, such as the economic calculation problem that Mises so wisely pointed out long ago, as well as rent-seeking problems that manifest whenever entities are pitted against each other to fight over monopoly privileges. So how would the marketplace solve the problem of R&D in the absence of the rent-seeking game that we have today? Auctions, says Jason. Suppose a company has the intention of developing a new product, a cure for cancer, let's say. Well, why not just set up an auction? How much would you, an individual, be willing to pay to see a cure for cancer produced? Suppose further that with every dollar you contributed, you were promised a certain quantity of the end product should it become successful. Suppose even further that you could place conditions on your bid, such as, I will contribute $10, but only if 1,000 other people do, or I will contribute $100 only after such and such milestone is reached. Not only will individuals want to see this R&D be performed, but think about all the generic companies that will come out of the woodwork to bid, knowing they'll be able to seize the design at the end of the day and produce it themselves. Without traveling further down the rabbit hole, it's easy to see how sophisticated enough auction design could be implemented to achieve a much greater degree of efficiency than can be reached under the current winner-takes-all paradigm. Something to chew on.
I can see how it might work. However, I would like to see I know that the internet's got something like this going on. Somewhere technology in the technology arena, the industry that this has been done. I would like to see an example, a working example of this.
Okay, I'll give you one. How about the XPRIZE?
Okay.
So how long has the government been in control of space travel? Well, and monopolized it, and they monitor decades. All the satellites. And if you want to go into space, well, you have to go get FAA permission and so forth. Somebody came up with a $10 million prize. Companies came out of the
Google,
woodwork.
It was Google, wasn't it?
No, it was the Inari family in Dallas.
Oh, okay.
But the Virgin guy, he poured millions into coming up with his spaceship that was going to travel, and so did a number of other companies. Like Jason's email suggests, people were coming out of the woodwork to compete for this, not only because of the $10 million prize, but because of the fame and the media attention and so forth. I mean, there's a lot of benefits to that approach.
And that's just one idea, too, right? I mean, there are other ways that this could possibly be solved. I think it was Stephen Kinsella's, one of his papers, maybe it wasn't him, but I was looking at something that suggested that the research could simply be done by universities. The process, instead of it being a one company that does all this research and then they have their ideas stolen, it could simply be a concept where people are just pouring money into this research house or this university that does the research, and then the idea is available to all who want to manufacture it.
Now, with the XPRIZE, I can see what you're saying. However, the companies that competed in the XPRIZE spent significantly more money than they got from the XPRIZE. They did it essentially. It was a bragging rights situation. They spent, you know, $50 million in order to win 10. And many of them spent, it was a very inefficient process in the sense that many companies spent a great deal of money to compete for a $10 million prize that was, you know, significantly less than what they had spent.
Well, in my in my university answer, wouldn't, you know, Johns Hopkins University want to be the have the bragging rights for the cure to cancer?
Why aren't they doing it now?
Well, wait, what is Virgin doing with their winnings? I mean, they've commercialized this. They've started charging $100,000 to take people up into space, and they're going to make that money back.
They may.
800-259-9231. We continue here with your thoughts, and we go to Alfonso in Massachusetts. Alfonso, you're on Free Talk Live.
Hello?
Hey, you're on the air. What's on your mind tonight?
I just wanted to talk about roads a little bit. I actually grew up on a private road in all places of Massachusetts, and we actually had the road paved, surprisingly.
When you didn't have to?
What's that?
You didn't have to have the roads paved, but you did?
No. We had the roads paved. I'm
when
just
you
being
say,
fantastic.
Alfonso,
saying that,
when you say we, who is
you
we?
You know, you can have paved roads with private roads.
Of course you can.
And people often say that, you know, they would say to me when I try and argue that, they say, oh, well, there would be anarchy. How do you solve the problem of who pays and
well,
blah, 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 blah.
The problem is who pays, and there are problems with private roads, and they happen all the time, and it depends on how the road is distributed. If, for instance, it's a dead-end road, and a lot of private roads are, was yours dead-end?
It ended in a parallel road, yeah.
So
not dead end, no.
It did not dead end. The question is, so, you know, it depends on how it's owned. Is it owned in the way that Ian suggests, where everybody owns a little piece of the road on the way in, or is the road owned communally by the homeowners?
Yeah.
Then you have to
How is yours owned, Alfonso?
Ours is owned basically communally. I think I wasn't that interested in it back when I was a kid.
Sure.
I moved away recently, but...
But you had agreements, and y'all managed to work it out all on your own, voluntarily, and you got it done. I thank you for sharing that. Hour 3 is coming up. It's Free Talk Live. What's the worst thing about listening to the radio? The commercial breaks are too long. Now, for just $3 a month, you can help Free Talk Live reduce the amount of time we spend playing commercials and get some really cool bonuses. Your contribution will help us get the show on more radio stations and MP3 players. For pennies per day, you'll help spread the message of liberty around the world. For more information, visit amp.freetalklive.com. Consider becoming a Free Talk Live amplifier today for just $3 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
It's no secret that Genesis Communications Network depends on listeners like you. Now you can do even more to hear Genesis shows in your area. Simply call your local radio stations and tell them about your favorite GCN programs. It's easy. Log on to GCNlive.com or call us toll free, 877-807-4048. Make a difference. Call your local station and contact us through affiliate relations at GCNlive.com or call 877-807-4048. Call today.